I thought we'd had a chance to get, if we could get up the field some. And so that's what I was trying to get to. Could we get into field goal range if we could get a big chunk and get a timeout and then get a must out of bounds? So that's what I was hoping that we would accomplish into that spot. And then when it turns into Hail Mary time, literally what it's named after.
That is Dan Quinn, your head coach of the 6-2 Commanders. Welcome back to G&D on the Fan. Phone lines chock full. When you hear someone hang up, there's a line open for you at 800-636-1067. The football team in town sure does have a bright future. It's time for you to plan yours. The exclusive sponsor of this show is the law firm, Condorian Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family as well. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today, kmlawyers.com. Tell them G&D sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. In 1 hour, we're giving away Caps tickets. In 2 hours at 5, Jay Gruden is on the show right here on The Fan. By the way, spread the word, Noah Brown, who caught the Hail Mary touchdown from Jaden Daniels, is going to be on our show tomorrow. Very excited about
that.
Oh,
very nice.
So we will talk to him about his role in one of the most memorable finishes in Washington football history when he joins the program tomorrow right here on Grant and Danny. We'll get back to the phones. I do want to hit the calls, Danny, on the last time people were that excited at the end of the game. But quickly, I wanted to run through some other storylines that'll get lost in the shuffle after that finish. Number one, Daniels playing despite all week long missing practice and not being 100%, best we could tell. I didn't think he was hindered in any way. From the moment he came out and watching him in pregame warmups, he looked the exact same. If I didn't know he had a rib injury, I never would have thought twice about it. The third play of the game, read option, kept the football, told me they have zero concerns about this guy.
Yeah, so Romo kept hammering this point that he thought Daniels didn't look the same. That was really throwing the ball, less about running it. I mean, he was complimentary when the running would happen. There was one play, I don't know if the exact circumstance. I want to say it was like a 3rd and 3, 3rd and 4, where there's a couple defenders in his way. And as the play's happening, Romo goes, that's a first down. Before it was clear that it was going to be. Daniels shakes the guy out of his shoes, spins, kind of cavorts and dives forward, and actually ended up, I think, not getting it or was close to it. But, you know, so the running part, no. But he was convinced that he didn't have the same zip, that it wasn't quite the same throwing the ball. Hard for me to say.
I didn't see that. I will say I didn't think he was as pinpoint as he normally is.
Mm-hmm.
Even the first completion of the game was kind of behind a guy. You looked at his numbers. That final drive eventually got him within right around like 55, 56% passing. But he went into the final drive at, I think, 50% on the nose. And now, there were drops in there, too, like 3 or 4 of them at least. I'm not suggesting he was inaccurate. Let's not pretend like he was Caleb Williams.
Come on.
Okay. But I did think throwing the football, he was a tick off. I didn't think that was a rib thing, though. Maybe it was.
No, I don't. No one knows.
But he wasn't wearing anything additive. And when he threw it, I didn't think mechanically he looked any different.
Well, so he would go to the sideline between possessions and they're wrapping him up like he's a mummy. And I'm going, okay, there's something going on still.
So that I was shocked by because until later in the game when he took shots, and by the way, one of them was just, again, completely unnecessary along the sideline. Like, why are we doing this? Please learn how to not get hit in the ribs when you have a hurt rib. The next play was when he got landed on by, I think it was Montez Sweat. And on consecutive plays, back-to-back, he took some hits to the ribs and he kind of got up. And I even posted a video.
Winston,
at Grant H. Paulson. He was writhing in pain. But yeah, earlier in the game, they were wrapping him. So it's clear that there was, you know, it's not 72 and sunny.
Mm-hmm.
I just mean between the lines and who knows what he's on or isn't on or what's shot into him or isn't. To me, I never once looked at him at any moment and said he looks different than normal. So
sure.
I thought that just generally that storyline, by letting him play, it tells me they knew he was going to play. And I know what DQ said after the game. We decided on Sunday. That's when he found out he was going to get the ball. Okay, fine. My guess is on Tuesday or Wednesday, they thought there was a pretty good chance he was
going to
go. I think
they had a good idea. As long as, you know, there's no setback or whatever, you know, milestones they needed to see. But yeah, I'm with you. I think that was the plan all along.
Another guy I wanted to shout out really quick. My guy, Johnny Newton.
Johnny.
Didn't Johnny have a day?
He did. They took credit. They didn't give him credit for that sack.
So annoying.
Which I need him to get credit for that sack.
They're calling that a rushing attempt. That will change at some point hasn't already today, probably tomorrow. You can't take my guy's first career sack away. An obvious pass attempt. They wanted to throw a screen. Williams ate the ball. He won and got him to the ground. But for now, he got credit for a tackle for loss on that play. But I thought he was super impactful, lived in the backfield, did a lot of good things, and it's not going to get mentioned very much. Defensively, overall, they were really good.
I thought so. Really, really good.
They didn't give up a point in the first half in two straight games. That is the first time they've done that in 27 years. You got to go back, Danny, to 1997, the last time they didn't give up a point in consecutive first halves.
There were a couple, you know, really excellent moments, too, where it was clear they, you know, were swarming. So think of Benjamin St. Juste in the flat on that fourth down, holding up DJ Moore, who's got, you know, every incentive of the world to try to move forward and get that first down that was only a yard away. St. Juste holds him up, and here comes Luvu with the cleanup, right, to stop him short. So a couple plays like that where you just go, damn, that's awesome. These guys are flying around. But too much is asked. Like, when the offense doesn't come through, I mean, we've seen this time in memoriam, right, where a defense may be okay for a while. They were good yesterday, this group. But the defense might be okay for a while, a possession or two here and there with a good plan. And eventually, you're on the field for what seems like every 30 seconds. You're going to go out there for 7, 8, 9, 10, 12 play drives. You start breaking, right? I mean, that's happened last year with, you know, they'd go three and out with Bieniemy super quick or with Scott Turner years before. So this was one of those games where the offense simply wasn't doing it, wasn't putting points on the board. So the defense had to bail them out time after time after time. And eventually, the fourth quarter, Chicago broke through.
Last thing, the storyline that I cared the most about, especially when we found out kind of overnight into Sunday morning that Daniels was a go, the Washington offense with Kingsbury and Daniels getting tested against maybe the best defense they'll face this year. And certainly at the time that they played them, the best defense they've faced so far in Chicago. And while they had 12 points and couldn't score and didn't succeed in the red zone until the Hail Mary at the end of the game, you got to remember they had the touchdown called back and they had a field goal that was missed, blocked, whatever that was. That's 10 points right there. That would have been 22. They ended up with 480 net yards.
Yep.
480. Now, 52 of those are on the Hail Mary, and that's, you know, that gets batted away. Let's just say they don't have those. That's still 430 yards of offense at that point, which still would be almost 100 more than the Bears have allowed to any other team without the Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
It's the number one day statistically in terms of yards that they've had as a team. 6.7 per play, and the numbers are still very good when you take out the Hail Mary. Daniels gets to 300 passing for the first time in his career on the Hail Mary. Touchdown, no interceptions. I thought his numbers, based on the final drive, ended up looking a lot better than they had before. But I thought all game long, he was really, really good. He ran for 50. He gave them a chance. He threw for 270. He didn't turn the ball over. It was another game where he didn't put the ball in harm's way against a good defense. Like, I thought it was while he wasn't his best, he was clearly the better of the two quarterbacks, kind of start to finish, and he gave them a really good chance. The deep ball to McLaurin was ridiculous.
Great throw.
I mean, that was an outrageous pass. It was beautiful. And that's what I think what I've come to learn about him is, like, even on the days where it doesn't feel like it's going great or he's sharp or, like, he's not pinpoint, you get the B or C version of him, which I'm not saying yesterday was a C version, but on the days where that's happened, he makes huge plays that make a lot of it not matter. You know what I mean?
I know, like, exactly what you mean.
Yesterday was not an A-plus Daniels day, but when you look back on it in a month, it's going to feel like it because he hit the 60-yard bomb, because he hit the Hail Mary. Like, he is inevitable. You just cannot keep him down for four quarters.
Yeah, he had that one play, too, where Chicago, their defense coordinator, you go, you got it. You guessed right. You figured it out. Great call. Great job. Couple unchecked rushers, and one guy, you know, beats their seventh string left tackle, whoever it was in there at that point. And Daniels just kind of calmly slides to the right, just a little bit more to buy himself some time, to that right hash mark, throws it back across the field to Ertz, who's, you know, meandering his way kind of back, you know, towards the sideline for like a 15, 20 yard catch. And you go, that's not going to go in any highlight reels, but that's special. That's just so different than everybody else.
By the way, your guy Zach Ertz, 7 for 77 yesterday.
I know, man.
Big game.
That was big.
And I thought his touchdown was a touchdown. I know I'm the only one who thinks
that. So I did not. So really? That's interesting, yeah.
So here, the surviving the ground thing is ridiculous to me. He lands in the end zone, has full control of the football, and it has not moved. He is down, and then the defender pokes at the ball while he's basically laying there, and the ball shifts.
So I didn't think he had the full control. I thought as he's going down, he should have turned or done something besides just try to, you know, hold it. Like, he should have done something that showed that it's not just up for grabs at this point. It felt like it wasn't in his control first. But either way, I think if it had been called a touchdown, it would have stood.
What did you guys think really quickly? Because I, again, in the box, I think there were two of us that said yes, and everyone else is like, what are you seeing? To me, that was a touchdown. He lands on the ground. The ball has not moved at all. His hand is under the ball. And then while he's laying like he's going to bed, like I lay on my side on my comfortable pillow, then the ball moves at the end because the guy's pulling it out of his hand, basically. Darius, touchdown, no touchdown, Zach Ertz.
I was creating scenarios in my head where that was a touchdown, but I ultimately knew they were not going to allow it
to be a touchdown.
So
you did not think it was a touchdown?
I didn't think it was a touchdown, no.
What am I missing?
I think when that ball touches the grass, there's always a chance that the refs are going to say that it's no touchdown. And the ball touched the grass in that on the one angle where,
it's allowed
where they showed
to,
it from the front.
As long as you have control.
That, while that's true, I just, when you put when you put it into the ref's hands,
yeah.
I think that's just one of those scenarios where you give the ref the opportunity to say no catch.
But are you doing we're the commanders, it's going to go against us thing? Or are you saying, like, you're watching a game, two teams you don't care about, that catch is made, and they go, Darius, catch or no catch, you're in the booth.
I think had that been Sunday Night Football last night, and that was the Cowboys and the 49ers, I would have said the same thing. I would have said that's likely at this no catch.
That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out what I'm missing, because Mike Phillips, Craig Hoffman, that, you know, we're all sitting there debating it, and they're like, no, that's definitely not. And I'm like, I look at that. If that's not a catch, I don't know what's a catch. The surviving of the ground thing to me makes no sense.
I mean, this is such a boring answer, but like, it could have gone either way, because the NFL at this point, you never really know what's a catch and what isn't. Like, textbook definition, it should have been a catch. But then again, I've seen that play multiple times a week and they call it incomplete. Sometimes they call it complete. So I just genuinely do not know what an actual catch is then. So at that point, I was like, well, they'll probably just call it incomplete because that was a call on the field, and surely they confirmed it.
No, to be clear, I did not think they were going to overturn it as a touchdown. Like, I saw the original call was not getting reversed, I'm just looking at it going, oh, that's a catch. And I was like, not even close. Are you kidding me? Did he even have control at any point? Like, oh, yeah, just the whole time, all the way through the tackle, all the way until he's laying there. I don't know.
You're assigning it, just what I was looking at in real time.
Yeah.
You said he had control. I don't think he did. Like, I don't think it was like clearly this is something that's his. Like to me, remember the Dockson catch against Kansas City,
right,
where he has it and he's on the way down, then he hits the ground, and then
it comes down.
I thought that one was closer to a touchdown than this one.
Oh, disagree. I mean, that one, the ground causes the ball to come out, which this one, the ball doesn't even come out when he hits the ground. It's like after he's done falling down and laying there, and it even looks like the defender basically pokes it out while he's laying on the ground. Let's go to the phones, 800-636-1067. The last time you reacted the way you did to the Hail Mary, watching this football organization, whatever they were called at the time. Lawrence in Centerville, what's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? First-time caller, long-time listener.
We appreciate you, buddy. Thank you for calling
man.
In.
Hey, thank you for taking
it. Hit that!
And boom.
All right. Well, look, you know what? I was sitting here thinking last night after I scared the daylights out of my 8-year-old son and my wife by screaming the way I did. I was thinking that I hadn't been this excited since the seat cushion game where me and my brother went. It was like 30-something degrees outside, pouring rain, and everybody threw their seat cushions out in the field. We beat Atlanta, man, in the divisional championship game. And I hadn't been that excited since that day where I was soaking freaking wet getting on the Metro headed back home.
Wow. And that's
it
goes without saying, but a playoff game.
I'd like to ask you something, because I've checked some video this morning. The second to the last play, McLaurin does the out route, and they go from the line of scrimmage is the 35-yard line. They get up to like the 48.
Correct.
For the last play of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Then Daniels runs about 40 smooth yards running around and getting his spot. He doesn't throw the football until he's back at the 35-yard line,
yes,
like the original line of scrimmage from the play before.
Right.
And I was like, man, he didn't even need that. I mean, he needed it, but I'm just saying, if he had to, man, he could get that ball down there.
So at the time, I'm going, move up. You got nothing but space. Move up, move up, move up.
Right.
He was 10, 12, it felt like 15 yards before he started his wind-up to throw it behind the line of scrimmage, and there was nothing but daylight. I'm going, you got all the time in the world now. The guys that were chasing you are exhausted and knocked on their butts.
Well, he barely
move
got
up.
The throw. I'm not knocking the throw, but he barely got it to the goal line. It was actually probably maybe a yard short.
Right.
But I think what he was probably concerned with, Caleb Williams earlier, and it was not a Hail Mary, but threw the ball to the back of the end zone on a chance at a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So I think DJ Moore and didn't give him a chance. And a couple times, he did that, where he would throw the ball out of bounds or too far. I think Jaden Daniels, because he talked about it after the game, his coaching point is, do not throw the ball to the back of the end zone. Give them a chance. And I think he was hedging on basically the goal line.
Yeah, airing yeah, the
rather
other way,
than
right.
back toward the goalposts, knowing that they're looking for the bounce and the ricochet and the rebound and, mm-hmm. and what they're looking for. So maybe by design, he threw it a little further back. The other thing is, I think if you go further back, it allows, when you've got the arm he does, which is plus, to have that extra trajectory. Like if you ask Aaron Rodgers, and I've yep. seen him talk about this, what he likes to do on those Hail Marys, him and Russell Wilson are the best at this. It's that moon ball where you throw it really, really high and looping. Yep. I think having more room may have allowed him to do that, actually. So there might have actually been some method to his madness there. Let's go to Joe in Brooklyn Park on Grant and Danny. Joe, when is the last time you reacted like that watching this football team?
Good afternoon, fellas. Thank y'all so much for taking my call.
Hey,
first-time caller.
Thank you, buddy.
Getting through.
Appreciate you.
So he knows he's expecting
hit
something.
That parade! Hit that parade! Hit that parade!
Shout out to Jim Zorn. Appreciate that.
Love it.
Got to shout out the last time they were 6-2, Joe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's perfect timing. So I originally said basically the scoop and score in the 2005 wild card playoff game against the Bucks by Sean Taylor. But I actually have to say the Thanksgiving game 2012
okay.
against the Cowboys when RG3 lit up those Bammers in Dallas. When I say the entire game, I was just like, if there was a Cowboys fan within like any vicinity of me, they would have been so annoyed with me that day.
Yeah.
You're just trolling.
Like, I couldn't believe it because we had never beaten the Cowboys at Thanksgiving. And that was the first time we had beaten them. I was so elated that day. But even that could not match last night. Like, when I say, imagine one of the Wet Bandits from Home Alone.
Oh, this is my language.
When Kevin placing the tarantula on his face.
Yep.
That was me for probably about 5 minutes straight.
That was Marv.
Marv
has the spider right on his face. That high-pitched, squealing scream. That deathly, blood-curdling scream, basically.
Daniel Stern for the win, man.
What a great reference.
Perfect.
You know your boys. You know who you're calling into. 800-636-1067. So I think the topic at hand I want to it's similar to what everyone's doing, but not the game where you've been happy. I don't know that there was a moment in that Cowboys Thanksgiving game, as an example, Danny, where the pop was that loud. I'm saying when Howie Kendrick hit the foul pole, you jump out of your seat and you
yep.
scream. I remember exactly where I was. In fact, I was about to run out onto the field in Houston, which was one of the greatest experiences of my life. When I'm thinking of a good one here. How about when Yevgeny Kuznetsov beat the Penguins in Game 6 with the overtime goal that he scored in Pittsburgh? If you remember sending him on to the second round.
Oh, indeed.
The jumping up and down, hugging, screaming, making weird noises, like that level of excitement that a lot of people had yesterday. The last time you had that moment, not a game you felt great
not
about.
Not a game.
But like the jumping out of your seat, oh my God, this just happened. How long's it been for you? For me, it's been years and years and years.
It's been almost 20 years. I
got mine.
I didn't
even know I could feel like that anymore. I didn't know if post-Redskins, new name, new mm-hmm. thing, if I even had that, the depths of those emotions and feelings, that energy. And I was in the box, so I was not screaming and yelling. But the entire night, my phone's blowing up.
Yep.
I'm calling and texting people I haven't talked to in a long time. Checking in on my mom to see what she thought. I mean, it's been so long since you had that cloud nine feeling of, hey, what'd you think?
Everybody's watching it. Everybody's feeling the same thing. No one knows what to do. So the texts start flying. The memes start going. The calls, the FaceTimes, the whole nine yards, man.
Speaking of everybody's watching it, do we know? You guys were at home, so you have a better feel for this. Were all the other games over at the moment
yes.
of that Hail Mary? It felt like that was the
that
only
was almost
game.
8 o'clock, yeah.
Like, so everything else was done,
uh-huh.
and the whole country's tuned in.
Yeah, standalone. Jim welcomed everybody that was watching Kansas City and the Raiders.
Got it.
Yeah.
So I was hoping for that, and I assumed that. The reason I ask is, Jaden Daniels' two best moments, the Bengals' masterpiece, and that Hail Mary have both come with everybody in the country watching. That's how you win a Rookie of the Year award. Yeah. That's how you win an MVP award. That's how everyone falls in love with you and tells us how good you are, because you're having your best moments when everybody's watching, which is a nice thing.
Which is nice.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're giving away Caps tickets in about 40 minutes, and Jay Gruden's on the show today to walk us through that Hail Mary at 5 right here on The Fan.
McLaren, and that's where Jaden Daniels is eyeballing. Jaden Daniels sifting back, being pressured. Jaden Daniels hemmed into the pocket, looking for blockers, looking for something. He's got plenty of time. Launches deep pass into the area of the end zone.
Caught it.
And it's caught by Noah Brown. He was the tip man, and this place is now gone into bedlam mode. Washington with the miracle finish. The breakup pass into the waiting arms of Noah Brown. Nobody back there. Crushing loss. 18-15 Washington. Hail Mary. 2 seconds left.
That was a really upset Bears broadcast booth.
Oh, you hate to say it.
That is their home broadcast. That one's going to sting for a little while. The only solace you could take if you're a Bears fan is you shouldn't have been up 15-12 anyway, probably. But I cannot stop thinking about the fact that they were coming off of a bye week and that they were prepared to the extent that they were. Also, having now watched them in person with that defense and their talent on offense, including, I will say, Caleb Williams, who I did not think was sharp at all and was just flat out inaccurate for the first 2.5 or so quarters of the game. Having stuck with Eberflus was, you just can't tell me that wasn't a mistake. And there are better qualified people to talk about this in Chicago, I'm sure. But it's not like we've never watched Bears games. We got a pretty good pulse on the league, who's available, who isn't, what's enticing about jobs, what isn't. I'm sorry, that's an uninspiring staff. That's an uninspiring guy that you rolled with. He's a tremendous defensive coach. He's the reason their defense is where it is, no doubt. Look at what they did in the second half of last year when he took over play calling and had a bigger responsibility. But DeAndre Swift is legit. Williams is a playmaker with his arm and his feet.
I mean, they got everything. To me, they're basically saying, all right, Caleb, pretend you are a 12-year veteran that's seen everything. Now you gotta handle all this stuff. Now he does a pretty damn good job for a rookie. Like they're calling the plays at the line. He's setting the protections at the line. He's doing this, that, the other. Whereas over on our side of the football, and this isn't a knock on anybody, they're going, what can we do to make life easier?
Yeah.
What can we do to actually give this guy some success? And Caleb Williams, to his credit, has played, you know, up until yesterday, had played his best football recently. It was really coming on strong. It looked like there was a better marriage between Waldron and company and that offense with Caleb Williams. But I'm going, why are you doing that to your rookie? You've got here's what the play should be. Flip it to DeAndre Swift in the flat on first down. Enjoy your 7 yards. Hit Keenan out on a comeback. Don't focus on anything else, just that third down war daddy. Hit DJ Moore down the sideline. Do a little pop pass to Roma Dunze. I just coordinated your opening drive for 70 yards. You know what I mean? Like, why are we making things so damn hard?
DJ Moore was pretty silent. 2 for 27. That's what he had on the first play on that Thursday night game.
That's right.
Weirdly, he caught 2 balls for 27 yards on the first play. I don't know how he did it, but he did. He went for 400 that night, I think. Numbers approximate, yeah. The stop on fourth down by St. Just and Frankie Louvu.
What a play.
Cleaning him up. That was a big-time, awesome defensive play by BSJ. And I know he gets handsy and he had the PI later in the game. But again, he is a competitive dude. He gets in there and is involved. He's a corner two being asked to be a corner one. That was a really, really nice play. You see Williams' reaction on the sideline after they gave up the Hail Mary, by the way?
I sure did.
That's tough.
Yeah.
He basically was like yelling. I couldn't tell what he was saying, but I'm sure something to the extent of, are you kidding me? Really, guys? You couldn't have figured that one out?
I think he said, we'll get him next time, gang. Is that what he said?
And he, salty as a dog, just stormed off the sideline. There was no handshake line, it didn't look like. Maybe he did. I did see video.
Yeah, he found Daniels in the middle.
I did see video of him and Jaden embracing. But the video initially was like him headed toward the locker room. So I don't know. He must have did an L cut at some point and headed back out onto the field. Let's go to the phones. Last time you were that happy at the end of a Commanders game, Ed's in Arlington. What's up, Ed?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Amen.
Yeah, you guys are making my day listening to you. So yesterday was my birthday.
That's not a bad gift.
No, it was great. Spent a wonderful weekend, and then my wife, after the Bears punched it in, she goes, I'm sorry, baby. And then, we got the Hail Mary, and the first thing I thought about was 10 years ago to the day was what we call in my family the birthday miracle at Dallas, where Colt McCoy led us to a victory also on my birthday in 2014.
Monday night?
Oh, I didn't realize that was the anniversary. Okay. It's a great game.
10 years to the day, and I want to give a shout-out to my nephews, Henry and Cal, for being lifelong Redskins fans, even though they've never seen us do well. A shout-out to my wife for suffering with me. Man, I just feel like this huge weight has been lifted watching these guys. And in terms of other things that have gotten me pumped over the years, the koozie goal that I think Danny mentioned. Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was the game 6 goal against the Penguins.
That wasn't bad.
Pretty special. I did think yesterday about fans like the two that he was just referencing, mm-hmm. I think his nephews, he said, who have been with this team the entire time just because, right? I always use my age without trying to make it about me, but because it's a nice line of demarcation. I am the first generation of people that do not remember the Super Bowls.
Yep.
I was born the year of the penultimate Super Bowl, and I was a baby in diapers a couple years old when they won their last Super Bowl with Mark Rippon. I was born in 1988. But you don't get to remember that. My earliest memories are post-Pettibone by a year or two, probably. And that's like 94, 95, right into the Norville Eugene era. That is when your boy starts to have recollections about this team. I'm 36. The entire time. You did it just to do it.
You did it because you're supposed to.
Mom told you and dad told you, and that's what you did. You sat there. It's Sunday. You're living the DMV, which Virginia's a part of. Sadly, I know.
Sorry about you guys.
Maryland, I apologize for that.
We're here too.
But the Redskins are your team.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's what you did. And for those people that finally get to now potentially have the quarterback that everyone in the league loves and to maybe have a really good team. I mean, I wasn't joking earlier. At 6-2 now with the Giants up next, their schedule, they don't get on a plane and actually travel anywhere beyond like a 45-minute, hour-long trip for a month and a half. They don't really play anybody that scares you. They're not going to be an underdog by more than a couple points, 3 points. Maybe for the rest of the way. This is a snowball rolling downhill. There is momentum here. Something is afoot.
Yeah, you got away with one there. Like you won a game you shouldn't have probably by all accounts. Yet here you are. So you're 100% right about the momentum. I mean, for me, it's other sports where I've gone that crazy, right? For football, I got to go back to Sean Taylor returning the fumble against the Eagles in the last game of the regular season, where all they had to do was get a first down, and they couldn't. And here comes Philadelphia and stupid Coy Detmer with his neck beard.
Was that 05?
It was 05.
That was the final game of the 05 season when they went into the clinch to get into the playoffs.
Yep. Philip Daniels sacked. The ball's on the ground. Everybody's going for it. And then here comes this pterodactyl swooping in so effortlessly, picks it up, dodges Detmer, dives into the end zone, and I don't remember anything after that. Because right then, you have to remember at the time, this was Gibbs. That was our magic. Right now it's Daniels. Daniels is our magic now. Gibbs was the magic then. It was like, he's back. It's going to be different. It's been god-awful for 15 years, 16 years. Now it's different because he's here. And that was the feeling at that time.
That, by the way, was a week before their most recent playoff win.
The playoff win.
In 2005, which is just a casual 19 years ago. Let's go to Joe in Philly listening on the Odyssey app. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, Joe.
Caller before stole a little bit of my thunder talking about 10 years ago today. It's a special show anniversary today because it is Bashaud Breeland Day.
That's
today.
Right.
The anniversary of Bashaud Breeland, yeah.
Mm-hmm. 10 years ago today was Bashaud Breeland Day. My God.
Yeah, that's right. I think, last night I'm, watching the game. My wife is asleep next to me on the couch. And right before the Roschon touchdown, I wake her up, and, you know, he scores, and I'm like, oh, I'm so mad. The spread was 2.5, and, you know, basically Danny just beside myself.
Stewing.
And then,
yep.
Stewing, exactly. And as soon as Noah Brown catches that ball, I'm running laps around the living room, yelling, screaming, you know, like, we're going to New Orleans, Super Bowl's back on, you know, MVP, chosen one, let's go, let's go.
It's so perfect though, Joe, because that, like, immediately you go, you're 6-2. Next week, obviously, they'll be 7-2. Nothing could possibly stop them. And oh, by the way, no one can beat them.
Yeah, they're unbeatable. Even when they should lose, they just do that.
Nobody will beat this team. We're going to New Orleans as a show, by the way, in December, because our buddy Christian's the best. And the good folks at Brennan's, one of the great restaurants in America, are bringing us to New Orleans and showing us a good time.
They called to the bullpen and we got loose.
Here's the issue. We're going to have to go back.
We're going to have to make 2 trips.
Like 2 months after that. And I don't know if there's any hotels left or what the deal is or if we're sleeping on Christian's floor or maybe I'm going to sleep right between him and his wife. That's okay, too. If you guys want to just head in each direction of the corner of the bed and I'll plop down in the middle.
Yeah, you could do the Willy Wonka style, like feet to head. You know what
exactly.
I mean? Just to maximize space.
Well, no, I figure you're going to be down at our feet. So, like, we're laying, like, kind of like hot dogs in a wrapper.
Yeah, yeah.
But then you go against the grain.
Oh,
like,
I suppose you're cooking.
You know, you're going head to toe at our feet, basically.
Well, what's the, I forget what they're called, but fancy people have them in their bedrooms. It's like that really nice, not a stool, but like that
settee.
Kind of bench. Yeah.
It's a settee.
Yeah, you're looking for the settee. I'll sleep right on that.
Well, Clary's on the settee.
Oh.
And where's Darius?
I thought Darius was doing sleeping bags. Did we say sleeping bags?
Sleeping bags right at the foot of the bed?
Yeah. So, like, you know, they have that nice chair.
Yeah.
They, like, Ryan sleeps sitting up.
This is a serious question. Let's for the double play, go get CK. Let's start planning our Super Bowl travel. Can we do that or no? I want to know, what airline are we flying?
Yeah.
What day does he want us there? How long can we be on Radio Row? Someone's got to start thinking about these types of things.
You have to plan ahead.
And also, what are we going to do for the parade? Have we thought about that at all?
Are we involved? Like, are you on a float catching beers?
We were on a float for the Caps parade. Will we be on one for the Commanders? I'm going to say no, because we're not a radio partner.
Right.
And even though we're very powerful and influential, they don't always like us over there. But I will say, I think the new group likes us a lot more than the old group did.
Dubious honor, but I think you're right. Yeah.
Seems like the old group likes us a little bit.
Yeah.
Grant and Danny, the day after, what do you call that?
The Washington Wish.
Russell just came up to me, by the way, when I was coming back from the bathroom. He's like, I got it. What about Noah's Ark? I was like, Russell, I've heard that 1,000 times. Bro.
Did you also hear the like, right after that?
And he's like, really? Someone else said that? I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
I've heard that so many times. Like, oh, okay. But yeah, Noah's Ark, sure.
Works for me.
Hail Jaden. The Hail Mary. It happened. The Commanders win. That does not happen here. That does not happen to you and me. Not to this show in year 10 of its existence. The locals are 6-2. This is The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on The Fan. It is time for our double play. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today. In about 10 minutes, we're giving away tickets to go see the Capitals ahead of the Blitz. And in an hour and 10 minutes, Jay Gruden joins the show for his weekly appointment at 5. Cannot wait to hear him go over that Hail Mary, the design, and the execution from the coaching perspective. He's drawn many of those up in his day. But the Commanders have now won 6 of 7. They feel like a freight train that can't be stopped, Danny.
That's the vibe at this point. Even when it shouldn't, it still happens the good way, right? They did everything they could, technically, to lose that game. The poor execution, timeout wasting, drop passes, some missed tackles early, a bunch of things just weren't good. And yet, they're 6-2.
And the point I keep making about that 6-2 record is that it feels 6-2 can happen. It doesn't here ever, but it can happen to mediocre teams. But it does feel like something's brewing. It does feel like something's cooking here. You got the quarterback who might have the pixie dust, right? That just sprinkles out there on the Hail Mary and everything works out. This team is believing what Dan Quinn is selling. right now, this moment, how many teams would you be worried to play in the NFC playoffs as a Commanders fan?
We have slightly different definitions of worry, but your point stands. In other words, like, everything worries me, like every second of every day. But they'd be underdogs against a few teams, but not to the point where I go, they got no chance, because that's not the case.
The best team in the league is the Chiefs, who struggled with the Raiders yesterday, who can't really move the ball that well. The Commanders can play with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why we have brought our boss, Chris Kinard, into this studio, because it's about time we start planning some postseason and Super Bowl celebrations around here, just in case. Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Kinard.
Man, I just got chills.
I know.
About that.
They're 6-2.
What am I supposed to do?
Is there an anvil that's going to follow me or something? Like, what are we doing?
Now, I'm not suggesting they're going to win the Super Bowl. What I am saying is we need to be prepared for the inevitable second trip to New Orleans that we're going to be making.
Inevitable.
I have a question for both of you.
Yes.
Aisle seat or window seat?
Oh, you know me.
He knows his guys. That's window over there.
Okay.
He's going to fall asleep the instant the plane, once everyone's boarded and they go, boom, boom, thanks for coming on, and he's already asleep.
So
I need the aisle.
Yes.
Because it makes me think I'm not flying and I can not be afraid.
He needs the aisle so that someone wakes him up 3 times to go to the bathroom.
Well, I don't fall asleep. I just sit there in a silent panic. Mm-hmm.
But what if you were asleep the entire time?
Well, then I'd have your mutant ability and you'd be kicked out of the X-Men because I'd do the job.
Well, Grant's so exhausted from talking to random people the entire time.
That's a great point.
Before he gets onto the plane and sits in
his seat. It does get in the way of you talking to random strangers and finding out their life story.
If there's someone compelling that is a worthy, and I don't mean like
there never is.
They're worth talking to.
Never has been ever.
That's a good sparring partner where they want to talk to me. I might lose out on some sleep for that. But most of the time, they give off the Danny Ruye vibes of, okay, we've talked enough. I'm going to go.
Yeah, that's about enough.
Put my headphones on.
We've all done it.
But I went out to the Cincinnati trip next to a guy, and all he wanted to do was talk. So we talked the entire time. Was a listener. Every minute, and to the point where someone came up to us at baggage claim and was like, that was the longest conversation I've ever seen on an airplane.
That's right. I actually remember that.
We were going over the row. He was across the aisle from me, believe it or not. We were going.
Terrible.
Yeah. It was too much.
Can't imagine. But shtick aside.
We got to plan this trip.
At what point would you start having to say, like, get outside your norm of playoff thoughts?
It started this morning.
It's
already started. It's happening.
Actual planning.
They're 6-2, guy.
They're so good.
They're 6-2. Even the bad defense is good. What's happening here?
The terrible defense hasn't allowed a first half point in 3 games. You got to go back 3 games ago.
Yes. So, yes, the planning has started. How am I going to deal with the junkies complaining about their accommodations?
Literally my question.
How
do you address it? Do you start with, I will not be taking questions.
Let's start with this question.
Okay, go ahead.
Now I actually want to, this is now a serious thing. Like, not that they're going to go to the Super Bowl. In a world where they went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Would the plan be that we all went?
Yes.
Everyone would be
there.
Everyone. In New Orleans.
Everyone. I don't know who's going to deal with Jason Bishop, but everyone's going
to
go.
Pack your bags. We are headed to New Orleans.
Yeah.
106.7, the family. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Where would we stay? Hotels?
I think we'd probably try to find an Airbnb, and you guys would maybe we'd all shack up together.
Those would be cheap. Odyssey knows about this vision you have?
No.
It'd be cheaper than a hotel? If you get one house for, what, 20 people?
Yeah.
Guy,
I think so.
Can you imagine our entire staff on Bourbon Street for a week?
We'd be staying nowhere close to Bourbon Street. Like, maybe in Louisiana.
Okay.
But
we'd be in Mississippi somewhere.
Would we be in Baton Rouge, like 50 minutes from New Orleans?
Probably. That is a really good chance.
Yeah, Gulf Coast houseboat.
But then you've got to think about rental cars, Ubers. I mean, that ups the expenses a
I got to ask B. Mitch if he's got any family still in the area. We might have to shack up with
them. It is a lock. B. Mitch knows somebody, right?
Yeah.
So you really did start planning some things just in case today.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing that's happening.
How amazing is this?
I don't know what to do. It's incredible. They're 6-2.
Right.
You understand that?
2009 was year 1 of this radio station?
Yes.
July.
It's never happened in the existence of this radio station. It's been 15 years.
Yeah.
15 years.
Because second year of Zorn, they were terrible and he got blown out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
That was 2009.
Horrible. And almost every year since then.
We had the 7-game winning streak of 12, which you could say was comparable to these 8 weeks, but that was the end of a bad year. They made the playoffs.
Yeah, closest was fluky Alex Smith year, right, where they're winning 17-14, 17-15, 16-12. You know, everyone knew there was a low ceiling to that. Usually what happens is they get off to a god-awful start, half the fan base checks out, and sometimes they rally, sometimes they don't, but you get that 4-game, 5-game, 7-game win streak, as cases are. not this. Whatever this is, we don't do. We haven't done it since Chris and I were kids.
We had a quarterback we all really liked who knelt on the ball instead of spiking it one time. Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, like, in a game that they had to win right before halftime.
Like, we've never had anything that goes like this. That I've never had a situation where my team had a Hail Mary that was successful ever in my entire life.
No one in this city has.
No one
it
has.
It hasn't happened.
No one has.
We need to go or else our boss is going to be upset at us.
No, I won't.
But I do want to ask
so
you.
He gets so pissed.
He gets so angry.
He's so mad.
You know that voice
it's
that the boss
you
uses?
Can hear in the email.
Yeah, it's very stern. Yeah. One quick question. Where were you and what were you doing?
I was sitting on the couch.
The moment that the world changed.
I was sitting on the couch watching with my son. Neither one of us will ever forget it.
Is he psyched right now?
We were screaming. He was jumping up and down, screaming his head off. Core memory. He'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. I was shaking. I got weepy last night rewatching it. I rewatched the entire game last night. Incredible.
You got to get him a Jaden.
I watched
five.
The game over last night while re-listening to our post-game show, listening to grown men cry on this radio station, and I got teary-eyed. What
Come
a
on.
Night.
Come on.
By the way, that's what sports and radio does.
Yeah. Like, incredible.
That
Sorry
ain't
about
happening
it.
Everywhere else. You got to get your boy a five.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's happening.
I mean, after that.
You think he didn't wear his Commander's PJs last night? 100% chance he did.
It's never changing.
Yeah, by the way, get used to it.
The nail in the coffin!
It's over. The Commanders now have their moment.
Yes.
We're
going to talk about that later, too.
That was the beginning of that was the flag in the ground for when they became the Commanders forever.
Yep. Flag in the ground, left hand up.
Oh, Jesus. I just threw up a little bit. What a walk-off.
He's walking off on that. G&D on the Fan. We'll give you those Caps tickets right at the start of next segment. You got to be the 10th caller when we return on Grant and Danny.